Certainly, when we live by faith, we can live without having to feel any alarms, regardless of the circumstances that surround us. If we are children of God and if we live by faith, we will confidently rely upon God to provide for all of our needs and to take good care of us and to always operate in our best interests. And God has proven himself to be trustworthy. He's proven himself to be dependable. He has proven himself to be reliable. And as we walk each and every day of our lives, we can live by faith, recognizing that our faith will be amply rewarded. Hebrews 11 and 6 is very relevant and very meaningful for us today. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who believe in him, of those who have faith in him. In James chapter 2, read by Brother Stevens, verses 21 through 26. James chapter 2, 21 through 26. This is the concluding dissertation by James on faith and works. He emphasizes the essentiality and the indispensability of both. He emphasizes the fact that they operate in tandem with each other. We hear a number of persons speak of faith only, salvation by faith only, justification by faith only. James verifies the vital importance of accompanying and validating works in addition to faith. Verse 21, he asks, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or credited unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I'd like to encourage you to zero in with me on verse number 23. Number 23. Because our focus in our lesson this evening is on friendship friendship rather than just faith or faith and works. And there is a definitive relationship between friendship and faith. Notice, James says, with reference to Abraham, he was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. And I'm convinced that vital reasons why he was referred to as the friend of God had to do with his faith in God and his response to God's commands, his demonstration of obedient faith expressed in works. Abraham was the friend of God because he believed God and he trusted God, and he responded to God's mandates in obedient works. Friendship always involves an element of trust. Trust always comes into play as a or after a demonstration of trustworthiness. When one proves himself to be trustworthy, then one elicits trust from others. The wife should trust her husband. The husband should trust his wife. The children should trust their parents. Parents should trust their children. But a necessary prerequisite to trust is trustworthiness. We have to demonstrate trustworthiness in order to have people invest their trust in us. You see, now what does all this faith and trust have to do with friendship? How does faith and trust come into play? When we think in terms of friendship, we think in terms of a mutual relationship and two individuals being attached to each other by affection, love, or esteem. And I think that faith comes into play. Who wants a friend that you can't count on? Who wants a friend that you can't trust? Who wants a friend that you can't rely on? Who wants a friend who is not going to be there for you? Who wants a friend in whom you cannot believe and in whom you cannot place your trust? You know, a lot of times, individuals who love each other and have an unswerving belief in each other. Now, when it comes to trust, like my dad used to say to my wife when he was living with us and she'd take him back to Jackson, Tennessee, and meet one of my siblings or take him all the way to Memphis. Dad would say to Sharon, while she was driving, and then after she had completed her trip, he said, "Sharon, you're a pretty good little old driver." So he was saying that he had a measure of trust in her. My sister Mary, whom I taught how to drive, told me that just Sunday we were on the way to church at Laurel Street in San Antonio, and she was laughing about the fact that Dad would be real sleepy sometimes when they were on a long trip, but he would not go to sleep. And the reason he wouldn't go to sleep, he wanted to stay alert and stay awake and watch her all the way. He didn't have apparently full confidence and trust in her driving. But all of the places she took him and that she drove him to my knowledge, there never was an accident, never was a mishap. But for some reason, he felt a little uneasy. Now, I feel that if you can go to sleep, Eric, with somebody driving, that you have a trust in them. And in reality, you are willing to place your life, in essence, in their hands. I can't go to sleep while everybody's driving, David Love, but I can go to sleep with my wife driving. Because I have trust in her driving ability. I have faith in her driving skills. And believe it or not, I consider her to be my very best friend on the planet. She is one on whom I can depend. She is one on whom I can rely. She is one that has my best interest at heart. I have a number of good friends, many of whom are my siblings, brothers and sisters. We have a great relationship, but there is no friend that transcends my wife. So if I was going to claim a best friend on the planet, I would have to say that Sharon B. Jones is my best friend. Your wife might not be your best friend. Your husband might not be your best friend. I got a feeling, though, Solomon, that your wife is your best friend. You don't have to affirm that or deny it. Whatever you say can be held against you. You have the right to remain silent, Solomon. But I wouldn't doubt that Chris is your best friend. He's affirming it. And that's good. I think a man's wife and a woman's husband should be their best friend. That does not preclude the development and sustaining of good, wholesome, positive, productive friendship with others. So when I'm tired, weary, and we're on our way home having to go hundreds of miles, if my wife is alert, and I hope I'm not embarrassing her, but if my wife is alert and feels up to driving, I will lean my seat back, Carrie English, and I will call the halls and get my rest. Because I believe she recognizes that if she drives recklessly and if she is inattentive, if she's in an accident, And if she kills me in the process, that very likely it's going to kill her as well. So she's looking out for herself, and she's looking out for me. But I have faith in her. I trust her. Not just in the matter of driving, but I trust her cooking. She doesn't really like to cook, but she prepares me breakfast sometimes and serves it in bed. And I don't have to worry about her putting something foreign and toxic in my food. I trust that when she fixes me some food, be it breakfast, lunch, or dinner, that it's going to be wholesome, it's going to be good to me as well as for me. Friends, Abraham was called a friend of God. And it's obvious that Abraham had invested his faith and trust in God. It's significant that there existed between them a reciprocal relationship. How many of you have a friend? Or how many of you have multiple friends? Anybody in here do not have a friend? Anybody does not have a friend? I just believe that everybody in here has at least a few good friends. When it comes to friendship, in order for friendship to be meaningful, there must be a reciprocal relationship with mutual interests, mutual concerns, mutual commitments between two persons who are friends, mutual dedication, a mutual determination to look out for the welfare of the other person. God looked out for Abraham's welfare. Abraham demonstrated faith and trust in God. He was therefore called the friend of God. There are several types of friends. There's the fair weather friend. They will be there when the going is easy, but disappear when tough times come. Fair weather friends will be there when they want something from you, but are hard to find when you need their help. Fair weather friends cannot be relied on. There are also, in addition to fair weather friends, there are false friends. They will tell you what they want you to hear rather than what you may need to hear. You don't need fair weather friends. You don't need false friends. False friends will manipulate you. False friends will not be honest with you. False friends will not even be honest with themselves. And when the chips are down, you cannot count on them to stay around. What we do need is true friends. True friends will tell you the truth. Even if it hurts, they take to heart the admonition issued by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 when he says, "Lie not one to another, for you are members one of another. When you lie to another, especially a brother or sister in Christ, in essence, you are lying to yourself, because we are members one of another. And Paul makes that clear in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, notice verse number 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. So if we are members one of another, in a very real sense, when we lie to another, we are lying to ourselves as well. The relationship between Christians is so close that we can literally be said to be members of one another. I'm a member of you, you a member of me, all of us are members of all of the rest of us, or of each of the rest of us. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, in further validation of this fact. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So we are very close to each other on a relational level, as members of the same body, as members of the same family. That should expand our concept of brotherhood and our concept of family, recognizing that you are a member of me and I am a member of you, and we are all members of each other. That says something special about the relationship that we sustain to each other. True friends will tell you the truth. True friends are interested in your welfare above their own. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. True friends are reliable. They are dependable. True friends will be there through thick or thin. Will be there through good times as well as bad times. True friends will help you in times of adversity. True friends will rejoice with you, but they will weep with you as well. True friends will not run away when difficult times come your way. I think that God will never send a gift so precious as a friend. A friend who always understands and fills each need as it demands, whose loyalty will stand the test when skies are bright or overcast, who sees the faults that merit blame, but keeps on loving just the same, who does far more than creeds could do to make us good, to make us true. Earth's gifts a sweet contentment lend, but only God can give a friend. All of us need friends like these. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 17:17 emphasizes a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Somebody said we should treat our friends like family, and we should treat our family like friends. I want to close with a passage from John, and I want to affirm unequivocally that Jesus is the quintessential or the ideal example of a friend. John 15, verses 12 through 14, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then he acknowledging the reciprocal relationship of true friendship, says in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Abraham was called the friend of God. He trusted in God. He relied on God. He responded in obedience to God. And I believe that God could rely on Abraham because their friendship operated in a reciprocal pattern. It was not just one-sided. My question this evening to you is, are you a friend of God? Are you a friend of Jesus? If you are a friend of Jesus, Jesus himself affirms, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I ask you to do, whatsoever I command you." That's a real challenge, to be submissive to the will of the Lord, invalidating the authenticity, the genuineness of your friendship. Don't be a fair weather friend to Jesus. Don't be a false friend to Jesus, but be a friend on whom he can depend. He's already proven incontestably his friendship for us. Greater love, remember, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If you're here and you stand a guilty distance from the Lord, if you've not been demonstrating that you are a friend of Jesus, because you have trampled his holy commandments under calloused and insensitive feet, you have lived in disregard for the requirements he has made of you as his followers, if you have ignored the demands that he has placed upon you, if you've lived in a way that is inconsistent with his will, that is out of harmony with his word, why not repent of that today? If we are willing to repent of our sins and acknowledge by confession our sins, And if we're willing to pray, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nobody can dare say, well, Jesus has not been a friend to me. He has demonstrated the highest level of devotion and dedication of friendship, because Jesus, even while you were a sinner, died for you. If you are here and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we're going to encourage you to do it right now as we together stand and as we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?